When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Today on a haunting episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, two young men settle in for a night of board games. However, they soon discover that the game they are about to play is far more than they bargained for. As they begin experimenting with a Ouija board, they soon find out that they are opening a door to another world. A door that once opened may never be able to be closed again. That story and so much more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write in on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And hey, check out our EPP section, our extra podcast person sections over on Patreon or ghostpodcast.com. Just go to patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month. Get to access to all of our bonus episodes. We put out brand new ones every single week, all of it commercial free. You get the advanced episodes of the show weeks before they're released to the public. Again, no ads there either. And the full archive, which is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. Thousands of episodes from way back all the way to today. You get all of it, $5 a month, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode. Oh, the program. What's going on?
Well, let me just add this. Say somebody is just tuning in for the first time, like they just found this podcast. Mm-hmm. And when you say that the podcasts go way back, like they go way back.
Yeah.
There's like all that stuff you just said is not a bunch of shit. Like there is so much. And it's like, how many years have you been doing this?
We're going on about 9 now. So we've been around for a while. Yeah. And where a lot of shows do like one a week, we have consistently been multiple shows a week. There was a time where we were 7 days a week, which was insane at the beginning. Now we put out, there's 4 regular free episodes each week. And there is the 1 EPP bonus episode each week. So there's 5 new pieces of content every single week. And that goes back, like I said, about 9 years every week. So there's a lot to listen to.
Which makes it fun. If you want to binge something, you can never get caught up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always impressed when people say they started at the beginning and got all the way through. I'm like, how did you do that? Tell me. Did you listen at like 3x speed and we sounded like chipmunks? I mean, I don't know. But yeah, there's a lot and far more that's fallen off of iTunes and all that. So, you know, you get the whole archive. So it's out there. But what's going on with you, Carol?
Well, you know, not too much. Just kind of hanging out tonight.
Yeah.
And that's about that. Another cautionary tale about Ouija boards, I hear.
I like how Robert said Ouija. That was, and I actually, I had to spell it Weegee. So almost like the Bee Gees, but Ouija. And because when I had typed it incorrectly, he did not say it correctly. So I'm like, Ouija board. So we how do I get him to phonetically spell it? But there you go. Yeah.
Let's take a few tries to come up with the right spelling or the right pronunciation.
Second one is close enough. I'm like, I could keep messing with this, but I'm just going to go with this. Sounds a little off, but oh well. It's Robert from the grave.
That's what I love about Robert Stack.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not just perfect.
No, it's when you're
that makes it more adorable, actually.
When you're summoning the spirits of dead television hosts, it's not always going to be rosy. Sometimes shit happens. Hey, speaking of which, last night I was in my kitchen. I was working on putting together one of these arcade game things that me and Harper love to play. And I had all the parts kind of laid out. And you build it like a piece of, like Target furniture, really. And I had it all laid out. I was just sitting down for a minute on the stool. And I had one of these boards leaned up against one of the chairs pretty well. It wasn't going to slide, and it didn't slide. I was just sitting there, and I saw it tilt back the other way and then just fall over. But there's no reason it would have done that. It wasn't like, it slid a little bit at the bottom and then it kind of went down. It was leaning the other direction and somehow it moved itself to tip back the other way. I mean, you would think a draft or something would cause that, but there was no draft. I mean, this area, there's no vent.
Even a draft, that would have to be more of a wind gust.
It would have to be a good one. Like I could see if somebody opened the door right then and kind of did it. Sure, but no one did. I don't know. It was kind of weird. And I was like, well, this is a little creepy.
So you bought a haunted
Terminator 2 arcade machine.
Right? And it could be.
Well, it's new. I mean, I'm assembling it right now. But it was just kind of weird, I haven't had many other things.
I guess it can still be haunted if something's new. I don't know.
I think anything has the potential. I don't know that it is haunted or if there's just something else that kind of does stuff every now and then. I don't know. I think it's time to do a saging.
It's just a little creepy.
Yeah, it was a little creepy, but I went to bed. I ran to my room, put the covers over my head.
Night.
Yeah, cried a little bit. And eventually I woke up later in the night going, oh my God, what? Then it was all good though. 855-853-4802. Our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story of the day. It says it starts back in 2010. Well, I'm at a buddy's house staying the night. We've always joked how the room I stay in is haunted. And we've seen weird things happen, yet nothing ever physical or in your face, bam, haunting, Well, I'm laying here around 1 to 2 a.m., sending out a few texts before I pass out. Out of nowhere, I hear an old school child's toy go off. One of those animal ones where you pull the lever and the middle arm spins and lands on the animal and says, horse goes neigh. Assuming it's my buddy trying to screw with me, I just say, F off, go to sleep. And the response is the damn horse again. I shake my head and just say, okay, and try to go to sleep. Not 5 minutes later, it goes off again. So I'm annoyed now and get up to just smack the fool for messing with me. However, no one's out in the living room. Uncle's in the back snoring loud enough to wake the dead and every door is shut. A little sketched at this point, but whatever, it's nothing. I'm sure I just missed him. I go to my room trying to go to sleep and deal with it in the morning. Nope. As soon as I'm about to go to sleep, the damn horse goes off again. I fly up out of the room to get this little shit messing with me. No one in sight. At this point, I'm actually kind of bothered and tear the whole house through, other than the bedrooms, to find the toy or him. Looking all over. And while in the office, it goes off again. I immediately make a beeline to my friend's room, throw open the door. He's out like a log. I smack him awake to help me figure out because I'm just not going to go to sleep now. He's pissed off first, so we get to arguing. Ghost, demon, entity, whatever the hell it is, helps me out and sets the toy off again. He just shuts up on the spot, and I'm looking at him, and he says, "See me?" So we started looking for the toy to no avail. We stop in the middle of the living room to think about it. Where the hell is this toy? Bam, the damn thing goes off again. So we bail to his room like that's going to help. I refuse to even sleep in the home I was previously in. So we're buddied up tonight. Luckily, this is the last time it goes off that night and we get to bed. The next day, we ask the uncle where the hell the toy is. It's buried under about 6 blankets and a basket at the bottom of the closet. Not only that, but it's one of the ones you have to pull the trigger out or it won't go off. Not only that, it spins every time and you can't choose the animal. Freak out and bail that day? I don't need to deal with this shit during the summer. Fast forward a couple days, and there's 2 more of our friends over at the same friend's house. 4 people total, if you include me and my friend. We're telling them about what happened the other night, and of course, they don't believe us. This goes on for a minute till one of them says, "Screw it! Don't you have a Ouija board, Will?" The person who actually lives there is Will. He goes on about how they do, but he hasn't seen it in years, and it's probably gone. Nope, not me. I do not wish to play this game. So, I threaten to leave if they whip that shit out. We argue for a while till it comes down to, we're just going to see if he has it, okay? Fine, whatever. We walk to the cabinets in the living room to see if it's buried in there somewhere. First cabinet we open, and I mean the first damn one, which I've opened multiple times that day, the damn Ouija board falls out of the cabinet and onto the floor. I'm out, straight out the back door. I'm walking home, just not today, Satan. I'll hunt ghosts, but will not play with that thing. My friends chase me down the street, yelling after me, saying, "Well, put it back. Come on, it's okay." I eventually stop and turn around to wait for them to catch up and start yelling at these stupid fools for playing games when I even said some crap was going to go down. Eventually calm down. We're walking back to the house. One of my other buddies starts trying to say how it was probably some giant coincidence and it's all BS. The streetlight above our head just goes off on the spot when he called it BS. So, you thought a gun went off to the race. We bolted. Will throws the Ouija board in the closet, the freaking haunted room, after we finally get back and we're done. No more games, no more jokes, just done with this business. Ever since that night, whenever me and my buddy will walk under the light pole, it will turn off and turn back on, even after we passed it. Then we had that one that would do the same to us individually near our homes. Some years go by, and I've grown used to it at the old neighborhood and don't even think much of it anymore. Till I'm driving back from Venice, Louisiana, with nobody but me on the road. This is the accent of Louisiana, after all. It's midnight, I'm tired, and I still have to get to work to get the work truck back to Lafayette after dropping off a few samples. Of course, I call a few friends to keep awake and see if they'll talk or yell. Either way, I'm staying awake and entertained. I end up getting Will on the phone and we're talking and shooting shit until, get this, odd cold sensation down my spine. My hair stands on end from my arms, my breathing just accelerates, and my foot subconsciously slams on the gas pedal. Note, I haven't seen shit, I haven't heard shit, there was nothing to do other than some kind of instinctual response. I look down at my hands and I'm gripping the wheel so tight my knuckles are white. I just can't talk or stop this from happening. I look up in the mirror behind me to try and see something. I really don't know what I was looking for, just anything that could explain what the hell was going on. I'll never forget the sight of the entire damn highway behind me, black, besides about 30 yards worth of lights, but it's catching up. They're turning off fast like something is chasing me. I look straight at the road in front of me and just keep gunning it. Right as it catches up to the last light behind me, everything just stops. The feeling is gone. I can breathe normal. I can speak, and it feels as if something has been lifted off of me. I look back to find every light is on. And there's nothing. Just me and a lonely stretch of highway. I tell my friend bye. He's obviously the cursed one, so I'll talk to him when I'm off and head back to Houston for a few days. To this day, every now and again, things seem to happen to us, or at or around the same time, similar to this, and it's an ongoing argument on whose fault it is. I still say it's his because it started at his damn house, and they just had to talk about whipping out a Ouija board to communicate, but no old fool wants to say it's mine since nothing bothered anybody but some strange noises and the closet opening before the story happened. Get a little shaken and goosebumps down my arm whenever I talk about it. Lots going on in that one. Thoughts?
I don't know, because it's like, I mean, the stuff was going on before the Ouija board was discovered,
mm-hmm.
where it wasn't, then it was,
yep.
which would totally creep me out. But it doesn't sound like that person had anything to do with messing with the Ouija board.
Mm-hmm. Just
so I wouldn't think the Ouija board would be greatly involved with everything else because it started before then. And I know exactly the kind of toy that he's talking about. You, mm-hmm. you have to pull the string and then that thing goes around.
Yep. And the old ones were different because the old ones ran on basically a type of record that would play in. This is before, you know, microchips. And what was fun about that is you pull the string or you could just wind it around with your finger and you could make it go in reverse, too. So it sounded really creepy when the guy that's like, the horse says, yee, then it starts out with, so it sounds like Satan and random animals making weird noises that you never thought a horse could make. I would always do that to them. And then people would look at me like, what's wrong with that child?
It's funnier this way.
It is so much funnier. But the ones today are, because I think Harper had one. It's all computered and it's, you know, you can't make it talk in reverse and make it sound like Satan. And you could also, when you made it talk in reverse, you could adjust the pitch of it depending on how fast you were turning it. So you could make it sound really creepy, like the horse.
I remember doing that.
It was so much fun. They don't make satanic toys like they used to.
But it's interesting. There's a whole series of different things that happened that I don't know were necessarily connected with the other one. Maybe mm-hmm. that person is like one of those people who just has the shit follow him.
Yeah.
You know, I do. I think there are people that just have that around them.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like it was different locations, different things going on. But that would be creepy. The horse says, hey, mm-hmm. to hear that over and over and over. Oh, my God, I'd go crazy.
Yeah, that would be very, very creepy. So the next call I have here is from a woman named Claudia. She seems to have a lot to say, like four calls worth to say. And I'm curious. I'm going to play her first call and... because it's like a continuation thing. And we'll see how cliffhanger it leaves us if we want to dive into more. But we'll give it a shot here. And I do thank her for calling in and spending that time trying to share these stories. So let's hear her tale. Hi.
Hi, Tony. This is Claudia. Hi, Carol, Todd, and Harper, and all the listeners of Real Ghost Stories for actually... chiming in. I just wanted to share my ghost story. Now, this happened about 12 years ago, I'd have to say. I live in Silver Spring, Maryland, and this was the first apparition that I saw. So, this was on a farm that had history on it. The Underground Railroad tracks actually ran through this property. Now, my sister's baby father, the father of my first and second nephew, he was living on this property with his younger sister, and they were renting a farmhouse stable from a lawyer who owned this property. And he had told me when he was living there that he had experienced some weird things. The first experience, he said that he was outside with his friend, drinking a beer and smoking cigarettes, and that he had heard somebody running towards the area that he was living in. And of course, this is like, in an offbeat area, gravel road. So he hears like gravel crunching and he hears something running towards him, but he couldn't see anything. So him and his friend, they get freaked out and they run back into the pretty much like a in-law house. So he said that was the first experience. The second experience that he had, he said he was outside by himself. I don't know if he was smoking or drinking, but they were out there. And he said that he saw what looked like a bicycle light, like a reflector light, coming towards him. And he didn't see, of course, this is like a dark area. There are no street lights. There's nothing out there. But he sees something of a light form coming at him that looks like a bicycle light. But he hears nothing. Now, if you have a bicycle coming at you, you're going to hear something. In this area, it's either like a gravel ford or dirt path, and he hears nothing coming at him. But he sees a light coming towards him. And he's seeing it that it's coming closer and closer and closer. And he gets freaked out and he runs back inside. So he's telling me and my younger sister, the father of my two nephews, and he's freaked out. So I never disbelieved them because I actually believe in spirits. So one day, and this is my experience, like I said, I never disbelieved them, but one day it's like broad daylight, around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. This was actually 2004, and it's a beautiful day. Summertime, it's like 83 degrees outside. And as I'm walking, he's telling me that there is, behind where he lives, there is a tree line, and behind that tree line, there's a open field. Now, that's all he told me. So he's like, let's go out and let's go enjoy that day. We can explore the, you know, that field area. He told me it had a history. He never explained to me what kind of history it was until after this experience. So we go out there one day, and I remember as we're entering this field, I got this weird feeling, and I heard this voice say, are you going to see anything today? And I remember thinking to myself, what could I possibly see? It's like broad daylight on a beautiful day. I didn't think anything of it. So I enter the field. Now my younger sister, who's only 362 days younger than me, we go onto this field with her, what we nowadays call baby daddy, and my nephew, who's only 2 years old. We enter this field, beautiful day. We enter this field, it's a beautiful day. The field is about, it's a good size. I can't even give you measurements, but it's maybe like 50 yards in width by 60 yards in length. And then there's a dirt path, gravel path combined on the right hand side. So we enter this field, and I didn't realize that this field has history to it. The Underground Railroad ran right through this property. So Harriet Tubman, she had people come through there. But from what I understand, Harriet Tubman, when she did her missions, she never lost one person. So whatever happened on this field had nothing to do with that. But apparently somebody had passed away on that property because there was a spirit roaming around. So we're on this field, on the actual field, not on the dirt path. The dirt path was on the right-hand side of us. So we're just enjoying this beautiful day. And we're about maybe halfway down the path, a little bit before halfway down the path, because there were six trees aligned to the right-hand side. On the right-hand side, there were six trees on the dirt path. Now, my sister, myself, and Brandon, my sister's baby daddy, and my nephew, who was only 2 years old, we're just enjoying a beautiful day. And then, out of nowhere, on this dirt path, we see, you know, two older couples. They're coming up the path, and they're enjoying their walk. And you could tell that they were married because of the casual stride that they had. They were enjoying their path. They were enjoying the day. And there was something behind them. It was something black. That's what I noticed. It was a man in black is what I can describe him as. That's what I thought it was. So I'm looking and I'm watching and I'm like, how peculiar this is. What is this man doing wearing all black from head to toe? On a beautiful day like this, it's like 83 degrees outside. It's a sunny day. It's beautiful. Why is he dressed in black from head to toe? Like, and don't get me wrong, I love black. It's my favorite color. But when I saw this, I was like, this is way too much. If you could remember the movie I Know What You Did Last Summer, the murderer of that movie, that fisherman who had the fisherman's cap with the black trench coat, that's exactly what this thing looked like. But as this thing is coming up the path, behind this couple, this older couple who's enjoying their walk, this thing is like walking behind them. Now, my younger sister, she was about 10 feet ahead of me. So she's looking at it. I'm looking at it. My sister's baby daddy, Brandon, is looking at it. And we're all fixated on this thing. Like, what? And I thought I was the only one who was noticing this black thing behind them, which I thought was a human being at first. Just a black, a person dressed in black. But I didn't realize how common shadow people are. So I didn't realize what I was looking at. But I see this thing. I didn't realize that Brandon, my brother-in-law, and my sister, my younger sister, were seeing the same damn thing. So I noticed that we were all looking at the same thing. Of course, I didn't say anything because I was just like, why is this person dressed in all black? That's my mentality. As it gets closer and it's coming up the path, it's getting closer to us, I'm just staring at it. And everybody else is staring at it. And the two older couple who are casually walking, enjoying their walk, older couple in their 50s, they obviously see that we're looking towards them or something behind them. So they're obviously, they look behind them because they see that we're looking at something. We're fixated our gaze on something behind them. So they turn around and they must have seen what we saw, because as soon as they turned around to look at what we were looking at, they quickly turned their heads around and they jumped right onto the field.
And that's where that call ends. There's more and another call. Thoughts on all of that?
Well, I find it, I'm like, but we're just dangling now.
I know.
I mean, I could, it's kind of unusual to, you know, you think of things like that happening at nighttime, mm-hmm. it's dusk, it looks like there's somebody back there, is it? But, you know, obviously it's not, it's a nice day.
Yeah.
Middle of the day, and that is weird that there's just two people out for a walk and there's somebody walking behind them all in black.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pretty creepy.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where it's like, yeah. Yeah. If we will continue with it on our next episode, we'll hear Claudia's story part two, and I believe there's even a part three, which maybe we'll get to the next week. This is we'll continue it because I'm curious as to what is discovered about this dark thing.
Because does it just disappear?
Yeah.
Do they make eye contact with it and go, "Hey, how's it going today?"
And they all go to Showbiz Pizza and have a right? pizza and play in the ball tank. Yeah.
They're like, "Hey, beautiful day, isn't it?
Exactly.
Nice
yes.
day for a walk."
Yeah.
And then he like winks at him and does that little thing with his fingers. Hey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then that's the way the story ends. Or does it?
Or does it? Anyway, we'll get to that one on the next episode of the program. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our episodes. You also get access to our bonus episodes and the archive if you become an extra podcast person. Sign up for that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.